Welcome to the Health and Happiness Show on KGVM 95.9 FM and KGVM.org online. We wish to thank the Montana Psychological Association for their support of this program through the Public Education Committee. We also thank Bob Wall, station engineer and guru, for his valuable expertise in the computer world. I'm Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, along with Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. Today we turn our concerns to the families in Bozeman. As we know from the Bozeman Health Survey, 1 out of 5, some say 1 out of 4, Gallatin Valley residents suffer from mental health and or addiction issues. From Carl Rosler, State Supervisor for Suicide Prevention, suicide attempts by young people increased fourfold following COVID-19 and being one of several mental health issues. Suzanne will now introduce a Bozeman group addressing families' needs and providing resources.
Back in the 80s in Oklahoma City, Arliss, Dr. Wood here, saw some folks in his psychology practice who truly needed additional family support. That provided the incentive to found Haven, which stands for Helping All Violence End Now, a support system to provide group therapy and support for those enduring family violence. And in that case, help was provided for both those who perpetuate abuse and those who suffered from abuse. Soon, the municipal courts were making referrals. And back even further, in the 70s, he was the first executive director of the Children's Place in Kansas City. I remember he was staying there when they didn't even have the doors on yet. It was a novel daycare for abused children and their families to forge forward and away from the abuse cycle. It was somewhat amazing 2 years ago to get a phone call from Kansas City inviting Arliss to be honored at their 50th anniversary dinner and the groundbreaking of their new tremendous facility. Unfortunately, the cycle of abuse continues, and a vital group here in Bozeman has been creating and then providing support for families at high risk. We're especially honored to have the brand new executive director for Thrive, Virginia.
Thank you for having me.
And Sophia, who heads up their volunteer program. And welcome. We'd like you to talk all about your new efforts in Bozeman over the years, Sophia could talk about, and for the future, Virginia. And so, as we begin, Virginia, tell us how you came to come here.
Well, thank you both for having me. I'm really looking forward to this, and it's also nice to learn more about KGVM as well. How did I get here? Well, we've come here to the area on vacation many years before, and when the time was right, when we had done the work that we felt was impactful, but we were ready to move on from where we were living, which was in the Des Moines area, we thought pretty carefully about where we wanted to be. And this is a very special community, as you know. My husband is an architect, and I have an interest in education and in human services, and so this felt like a really good fit for us. So we're very happy to be here, and it's just as gorgeous when you're up and going to work as it is when you're here on vacation. I'm pleased to be a part of this community and hope to contribute to it, too.
We're so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Welcome. And Sophia, tell us how you came to be a part of Bozeman and Thrive.
Absolutely. I graduated college in Michigan in 2022 and had no idea what I was going to do with my life. So I took a position through AmeriCorps with the Gallatin City County Health Department for a year, helping them with their community health assessment and coalition efforts. And when that year was up, I was quite sure I was going to go home to the East Coast, but Bozeman has a way of keeping you, of drawing you in with its beauty and with its community, and so I ended up applying for and taking the volunteer engagement coordinator position at Thrive, which was an organization that I was lucky enough to already be familiar with through the community work that I had been doing at the health department. So I knew it was going to be a good fit from the start because I was aware of some folks that had worked there ahead of time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to welcome you again also. And tell us a little bit about Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
This is the organization you're both supporting with your life's work here right now. What does Thrive do for the community in Gallatin Valley?
Sure. So Thrive is 37 years old, very much a part of the community, and that was something that really interested me, is being a part of something that has had a long-time record of success helping families in this area. Our mission is for all children to have the opportunity to grow, succeed, and become valuable members of our community. So that's ambitious, but the way we help children do that is we really try to help the families. We have programs that work directly with children, our mentoring program, and we could speak about that. But our focus is on prevention, and it's our strong belief that when we can help parents as well as we can for them to do the best work that they can do, and we all know that times have changed and things have gotten even more stressful for parents, then the children do a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I love what you said about the preventative piece, and Thrive really being that type of community resource that it's going to work with any and every family, regardless of sort of demographic, where they're at, what the need is. We're going to meet them where they're at and not say, oh, we're only working with a certain type or a certain level of need, but understanding that, the more families that we can support wherever they're at, the stronger that family unit's going to be and their children, and then also the community at large that's obviously made up of all of these human beings and family units as well. So that really broad-reaching preventative approach is something we're really proud of.
Yeah. Tell us how a family is referred to Thrive, or how a family becomes a recipient of Thrive services.
Yeah, absolutely. Like with any good community resource, there's many ways to get tapped in. But I'll take a step back and speak to a few of our programs, because they all have slightly different ways of getting involved. So we have our CAP mentor program, and that runs K through 12. That's a one-on-one mentoring program for students in the schools. And then we have a sort of sister program that goes along with that in the elementary and middle schools, and that's our parent liaison program. And that is a Thrive worker who is assigned to be in the school and really be focusing on that parental relationship or that guardian relationship and bridging that gap between home and school, whatever the need is there. And then we also have programs working in the early childhood realm. So working with usually families with kiddos about 0 to 5, and doing things like parenting advice, early literacy to get kiddos ready for kindergarten, all of those sorts of things to support parents to have enough resources and also kids to be ready to thrive as well. And so the way that we get referrals is often through other partner organizations. So maybe the hospital or a pediatrician or another nonprofit that's working with a family and thinks that they could benefit from some of our parent coaching, our resource referral and all of those things. So we'll sometimes get that directly from partners in the community. With the parent liaison and the CAP programs that are more housed in the school, it's really beautiful because we have this partnership with the school system where it might be a counselor or a teacher or the woman, you know, the person working at the front desk even, who, you know, sees a family or sees a kid and thinks that for whatever reason that they could use some parent liaisoning support, or that that student could use a CAP mentor. And so then we'll get referrals that way. either informally through emails or phone calls or through the CAP program. We actually have a nomination form where any adult in a kid's life can identify that they could just use another support, and then nominate them to be put on a waitlist to get matched with a mentor. So, yeah, basically any way that you can think of. And we also have an office at 407 South Ferguson, and people can also just walk in the front door from usually 9 to 4 during open hours. And we'll have people do that, too, where they're just new to the community. They have an issue, and they just don't know where to go, and they've just heard Thrive. That's a place that helps people, and they walk in the front door, and whoever's there might not be able to solve the problem right in that moment, but will at least be able to find a plan and a place to start with them.
And you work with them to help find solutions. So, two things. One, I really appreciate that throughout the literature about your group, it mentions that you're evidence and research based. You try to do things very thoughtfully. And then that you partner with other community agencies. So you're a very involved part of the community. This is all extremely, extremely helpful. And for 37 years, you've been growing. And do I understand you have some volunteerism that can happen? Maybe talk to us a little bit about your volunteering. And for those out there in the audience who might be seeking something very helpful for the community and humanity, this is one of those. So tell us about that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So our main volunteer opportunity is that CAP mentor opportunity. And as the volunteer engagement coordinator, I have the pleasure of actually interviewing everyone who comes through as an interested applicant, which is one of my favorite parts of the job. Mm-hmm. But the way that that program runs, we have it K through 12 in the Bozeman Public Schools. We're also up in the Big Sky community as well, and started this January at Saddle Peak Elementary in Belgrade as well, understanding that many parts of our Gallatin Valley community are growing. And so the way that that works is I already sort of spoke to the fact on the student end that they get nominated by an adult in their life to be a mentee, but then mentors can apply on our website. Anyone above the age of 18 can apply and become a mentor. And the commitment is really just 1 hour a week meeting with that kid. And what's really beautiful about our model is actually two things. I thought of one, but there's so many beautiful things. The first one is that the program runs during the school week in the school. And that is nice not only because then mentors are off the hook during weekends and evenings and summers, but really because it removes barriers for children to participate, because regardless of that family's ability maybe to get a kiddo somewhere after school or for us to find a safe place for that match to meet, all students are in school during those school hours. And so any student who's nominated, regardless of what's happening outside of school, has the ability to meet with their mentor in a safe environment, and it also allows the mentor to meet them in an environment that they're in all the time, sort of in their a place that they're comfortable. And it ties that positive mentoring experience to school for that kid. And so maybe kids that are, you know, less interested in school or having a tough time are now making this positive association where school is where I get to go see my CAP mentor who, you know, loves me and gives me attention and plays games with me and helps me in school and all of those things. So that 1 hour a week in the school is really awesome. And then the other part is we have folks who are like, well, I have no education background. I have some cousins, but I haven't worked with middle schoolers before. Like, they're worried that they're not going to be able to, provide the service properly. But the beautiful thing about the mentoring model is, like, the key ingredient is just that you're showing up consistently and that you're present and that you care. And if you do those things with a student, your mentoring relationship is going to be amazing, and you're going to see positive benefits for them. You don't have to have some sort of educational or psychological background there. And so, yeah, anyone can sign up. We love having people from different walks of life, from different professions who can bring that to students. And then the fact that it's K through 12 and kids can get nominated for any type of reason also gives us a variety of different types of students and needs so that we can really make sure that we're matching folks based on a good fit. We don't do first come, first serve. We ask the mentor where their comfort level is, where their experiences are. And then we really look to match a student and an adult with someone that we think that they're going to click with and have a really good relationship with and understand each other in that way. And that's a really awesome part of the program, is sort of how customized it is there.
And I'm sure you would remain close by to provide support as needed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We do have CAP coordinators who work with the volunteers. So if you don't know exactly where to start, that first meeting, I just became a CAP mentor. I went through the process with Sophia. She interviewed me and matched me with a mentee whom I've really enjoyed getting to know. But my background is in education. If someone were to do this and didn't really know, you know, what do I do with this child? Am I supposed to talk about life's serious matters, or are we supposed to play games? Or, you know, there's a lot of support there from the Thrive staff to help students. I'll also say a few things about the CAP program that I think just make it so successful. One is it's pretty straightforward. I mean, we believe that every child is one caring adult away from a more promising future. And there's so much research about the effect of more healthy adult-child relationships in a child's life. And the way that kids will interact with a mentor that's different than a parent or a teacher. I also think it's interesting to be in the schools as an adult, mm-hmm. as a volunteer. We don't really get access to those places in our adult lives. So to go in and see what it's like to be a middle schooler in 2024, you know, my brain was, the gears were turning pretty quickly just seeing how kids are these mm-hmm. days, what they're doing and what has changed and what hasn't changed. The other thing that's really just palpable, and there's research about this all over, but volunteering just feels good. Mm-hmm. It's great for the kids and it's great for us. It's a great way to get to know the Bozeman community in a different way, is to reach out and get involved. And my mentee and I, we've had 3 meetings so far, and we've done some pretty simple crafts together, but you never know how that really lands with her. She seems to be really enjoying the growing relationship, and we'll continue it next year.
Marvelous. And I notice you have quite an extensive staff with Thrive. Is their background mainly education, or would it be psychology and counseling, or a mix thereof? And what we're going to ask next, just to give you an idea, what positions you might have open. This is your great opportunity to let people know. And so what background is needed for a person to work with Thrive formally as a job, and you know, what preparation would be needed?
Sure. Great question. It takes all kinds to make an organization like this run. We have many people on the staff who have a background in social work. So they have they've done the program where they have the LCW, and they have maybe a more traditional set of experiences, having caseloads and whatnot. They're interested in working with the liaisons who are in the schools. The liaisons themselves could have a variety of backgrounds, I believe, Sophia. I mean, they're people who are interested, honestly, in what I would call being social innovators. They understand the job of being a liaison, where they're going into the schools, and they're the bridge between the school and the family. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we're looking for a specific kind of background for that position, except, of course, communication skills. Exemplary communication skills will make that a more successful experience for everyone. Familiarity with kids, so background perhaps working with youth in some capacity or another. You know, we do have people who have education degrees, and this is the route they wanted to take, was not something so traditionally classroom oriented, but working with the schools. Mm-hmm. We're really a rather holistic organization in our HR approach. So hiring people, it's about fit and making sure that, you know, our staff all espouse our values and understand and buy into our mission and really want to advance it every day. We also need people to run computers and manage funds and accounting and be able to do those skills as well. So we're a unique workplace in that we try to offer the flexibility and the support for the caregivers, right? Caring mm-hmm. for the caregivers. Mm-hmm. So we do spend quite a bit of time and thought into making it a workplace that really supports its staff quite well in terms of what they need. Because this is intense work, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so we really need to keep revisiting that. How are we taking the best care possible of our staff? But there's no one particular credential needed mm-hmm. for a Thrive position. Certainly a real interest in our mission and advancing that, playing whatever specific role is needed there.
What is the funding of Thrive?
That's a great question. Sophia, feel free to jump in. Just like she said before about how families are referred, we get our funding from a variety of different sources. We have an incredibly generous network, and we're grateful for that. These are people who perhaps have been in the area for a long time and remember when Deborah Newman launched this 37 years ago and want to continue to support it. We have people who are new to the area. A lot of people are moving here to retire, or just like I shared with my own story, this is the next chapter of their professional lives, and they want to get involved. So we have that that support. We have support from businesses and corporations. We have grant support. We're actively seeking out support in a variety of ways, like most nonprofits. And we have fundraisers.
Mm-hmm. I've got those right with me. Pretty soon we'll get to that.
Okay.
I just wanted to kind of underline your point about how valuable a mentor can be. Many years ago, I read a book, and it's a very sad concept, but called The Moore's Murders. And it was by Truman Capote, long before your time, guys. But he's talking about these young men who set out to commit murders. And the thing he pointed out through his writing and that research has also pointed out is that within these two young men's lives, there had never been a single person, not a parent, not a teacher, not a grandparent, no one with whom they felt close. They had no touch with humanity as we think of it. And there's a wonderful person called Yuri Bronfenbrenner who talked about his concept that every child needs somebody who's crazy about me, somebody that I know cares about me. And so this is very important stuff that you're doing.
Thank you.
I see what you're doing is very much needed and has been in the different areas that where we have lived and, as we mentioned, been involved with early childhood and, in fact, all the way through, either in helping establish not-for-profit agencies or groups or support groups. And do you have any, like, church supports? I know that we, in the past, established help groups, self-help groups through local volunteer church groups. And there, do you have any of those here that actually participate, like to help with Thrive?
I would say one thing is bringing it back to the CAP program. Mm-hmm. I ran some numbers at the start of the year just because I was curious about where we were getting mm-hmm. folks from. It's a questionnaire form, you know, how did you hear about it? And sometimes it's the radio, which is awesome, but 75% of the time, roughly, it was word of mouth. Okay. So we've definitely had some folks who are involved, in different, churches and faith groups in their own life who have gone and advocated, in those communities to volunteer with us. And it is amazing how, when someone knows who they trust, who they look up to, offers an opportunity, how people are willing to then go try it out. And so we've definitely had success there with folks who are like, I like what you're doing. I have a really close-knit faith group. I'm going to go tell them about it. And then you'll be able to see over the next month, you get some applications and you're like, oh, word of mouth from that person. Oh, word of mouth from that church community. Mm-hmm. And all communities will see that in different spaces. But yeah, it's amazing how that word of mouth works, especially in communities like that, that have shared values and a sense of culture and connection.
As long as the program has been in effect, 37 years, do you have any people who've were in the program as youngsters who come back and talk to you or give testimonies or volunteer or any people like that?
We do feel like there are thrivers everywhere in this area capacity or another. Yeah, part of the Thrive family. Mm-hmm. I'll be at an event this coming week, and I received a phone call and an invitation to attend it because the gentleman who works for the organization who has invited me there to share some comments and introduce myself, he took a parenting class 15 years ago. I mean, this is the beauty of a longstanding organization that really does try and spread its reach into these, you know, places where it's needed most, is that we touch a lot of people's lives and then we hear or see them again in some capacity or another. So people who may have received what's called wraparound care and partnership. So this is a program we have for young parents who need help. As we all do when we're young parents with a newborn, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We may see them again later on where they volunteer to be a CAP mentor. So I think the fact that we offer so many different kinds of services, we're not a specific organization that we're not a specific organization that serves, you know, birth to three, but we're all the way up. We will see people again, and mm-hmm. we welcome that. And we really appreciate the wisdom that they can share, their reflections about how Thrive benefited them.
Well, and you, as a volunteer or as a worker, might work with a three-year-old preschooler or high school student experiencing difficulties. So mm-hmm. just a wide array of contacts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was recently, for our Lily Ball fundraiser that we had back in the spring, trying to solicit some in-kind donations around town, and I was trying to get stuff for a ski package, and I like could not get here back from places. I was having a really tough time, and then I called this one store and got someone at the front desk and was like, can you just leave a message for the manager? We'd love to collaborate. And he ended up reaching back out, and they ended up very generously donating items of like a couple $100 value. And I went in and he said, you know, the reason that I followed up during a really busy time of year and did this was because the person who picked up the phone at the front desk who works here is a CAP mentor. And so when she passed the message along about that it was Thrive asking for an in-kind donation, she mentioned that she was a CAP mentor and how much being a CAP mentor meant to her. And because I care about my employees, I chose to donate to you all because of her. And I thought that that was really cool.
Wonderful feedback.
Yeah.
Yes.
You mentioned something earlier, I think is at the basis of psychotherapy, counseling, Thrive, not-for-profits, help center, is that I was at a convention, I think it was in Texas, hundreds of people there, famous speaker that's famous with the American Psychological Association, written a lot of books, and done a long-term study on why is some counseling or psychotherapy effective and others isn't, and to get rid of all the names of different techniques, whether it be eye movement desensitization, or whether it's client-centered, screen therapy, whatever, is that 90% of people who get better, it's because of the relationship.
Absolutely.
And the 10% can be behavior modification, it can be whatever, but you got to have a relationship. And so you guys mentioned that right off the bat, and I thought that...
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think relationships are a form of infrastructure that keeps us moving. Prior to my work here, I've been a classroom teacher, as my career has been in education, and most recently in college classrooms at Iowa State University. And it was really interesting to listen to students talk about this, that really all of the advances that we've made with technology have also isolated us a great deal. And I found it ironic that a generation that we ascribe to being so excited about technology is also, you know, cognizant enough about what's lost. And they were pretty quick to share in class that, you know, now I can email a teacher, or I can email an advisor, instead of what used to be where you would have to go visit that person in person. And so they were they impressed me with their ability to articulate what they think is really a slippery slope with all of our technological advances. We could see that in the middle and high schools too, because kids are already in front of computers, and that's been very efficient in a lot of ways, but our relationships need a rebuild all the way around, and that protects everybody.
And we mentioned Carl Rosten earlier, the statewide supervisor for suicide prevention, and works a lot with young people. And he was talking about that same aspect, that we, you know, need to just reach out to one another, because the distancing that happened during COVID, for instance, where people were more isolated than ever, was really, you could see the results of that. So sure. What you're saying is that was a particular circumstance, but also the fact that we can just text or sit down to the computer and not go sit down with that person. It is isolating, isn't it?
And it makes the CAP mentor experience all the more unique and impactful in this era, that it's a person. We don't even need to say, but our CAP mentors aren't going to sit there on their phones while they're meeting with these young people. And we don't ask the students, you know, to pull those out either. So there's face-to-face time for an hour. Doing an unplugged activity, going for a walk, sharing some food together, whatever it is.
Bring a puppy.
That'd be great.
It's very therapeutic.
Really therapeutic.
Very therapeutic.
Absolutely.
And as a mentor, as one of these people working with these young people, you might be the one that makes a difference for that life. And for other lives involved with that particular life. It keeps growing.
There's a term I hear, and I see some bumper stickers occasionally that say it, but about random acts of kindness. And I found this, as you were talking earlier about people in my life, I could just remember them, three or four especially, that during difficult times at home or whatever, that this person made a difference. And I think research bears out that one single act of kindness may last a lifetime with somebody.
Interesting.
And that just kind of brands itself on the small child, even another adult, someone very lonely. The other day I did something, it's kind of amusing but kind of sad too. Someone's walking through a neighborhood and looked like maybe a homeless person perhaps. I had a backpack home. I kept marching up and down the streets. And our little dogs got out, and they ran up to her. And what I had to say and what I meant and how she interpreted told a lot about everything. The dogs, and I tell them to come back because they like to go. Everybody ought to love them and pet them. So they ran up and jumped up on her, and she didn't turn around. She was going that direction. And and I said, say hello. And I say that to the dogs, for them, and because I see them as little people, be nice, say hello. She said hello, looking the other way. I thought she was so used to hearing people probably tell her things, have a purpose for her, that it told a lot about her self-esteem, and maybe what she was fearful a little bit. And I thought, oh my, and it wasn't a time to really say it again or tell her what I really meant, but some people are not used to ever receiving any kindness.
Right. You And, you know, this is a nice segue into our other programs aside from CAP, our parent liaison programs and our partnership program. Those are both opportunities for people to receive undivided attention from a caring Thrive staff person who can help with resources and tools, but also is really committed to listening and being pretty present for those people. Our parent liaisons are amazing. I mean, they really walk with parents through a lot of challenges, and that may mean texting or calling. They do a lot of figuring out what the best way of communication is going to be, and they might use a couple different platforms working with a parent. So first, they have to figure out what's really going to be most effective with the parents. We have Spanish-speaking services, so we also access that when needed. But really, they end up spending quite a bit of time meeting with parents, and this might be at school, drop-off or pick-up, but it could be at a coffee shop or somewhere else. But one liaison told me recently that a parent she was working with needed to meet with the school about their child, she offered to come, and the parent said, "It would mean the world to me if you were there with me." Which, if you think about it, is probably a pretty daunting experience to meet with a principal or a teacher if your child is having issues. And someone who has been listening and investing in you is also there with you. That would really calm your nerves and help you focus. And we see the same thing with partnership, with the Thrive staff we have who visit families in their homes and give them their attention and can think of suggestions and offer resources. But I've been home with a young child or two. You're in a foxhole. And for someone to come and visit you and give you their time, which is their most precious resource, really valuable.
And that's extremely powerful to think of a cohort, a companion who's there for you, who'll go with you to the hard things. Right. And so that would almost tempt and encourage most anyone to volunteer or to apply for a job with Thrive.
Yeah.
Do you deal with immigrants?
I mean, we have a very robust Spanish-speaking program that we are continuing to invest in. We really want to deal with, you know, not deal with, we want to help all families. And so the families that need help in the schools, and that's often the way that we learn about families, are the families that we would work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I very first moved to Bozeman myself and was starting to work in the health and human services area and just meet all the partners and just hear the conversations that were happening, the two things that I heard the most were we have not prepared our infrastructure to house everyone, and housing is an issue. And then the other thing I heard is we are not prepared to serve our Spanish-speaking and migrant families, that this community just did not prepare to serve for everyone who is going to be moving here. And so something that I loved transitioning over to Thrive is how proactive and inclusive and robust of a program and commitment that they are to making sure that we're serving our Spanish-speaking families exactly with that philosophy that we serve all families, so why wouldn't we serve our migrant and Spanish-speaking families? And I think that, you know, in the times in the country that we live in, that's not always the sentiment that everyone has. And so,
not politically correct.
Yes. So working at an organization and a community that just welcomes everyone with open arms and says whatever, you know, the need is or the barrier to services, the onus is on us to take care of that and make sure that people can access services.
Yeah. This is a child like any other child.
Exactly.
We had some representatives of the Hispanic community in the greater Bozeman area on the show, and they talked about the community efforts that they make also to integrate into the society. And Arliss and I've been noticing lately every building project, of which there are many right now, almost the entire group working there is Hispanic, and they serve our community so beautifully and so well. And so It's great to think that Thrive would also partner with them to serve their children as well.
Not a great friend there. We miss a great deal. Ehill, who's on the city commission and well-known to everyone. She was on our program several times and spoke of how she was treated when she first moved here, which was not very positive, actually, by many. And yet, because of her great spirit and I'm sure as support, she was able to really overcome that and in fact, dominate.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you didn't get to meet Iho. She was just...
I read about her, but our paths didn't cross. It sounds like she's left quite a legacy here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, an enduring and growing legacy.
That's wonderful.
Just named a park after Iho.
Oh, terrific.
Just this last month, yeah. And so, yeah, when we think about those in our community, for everyone, the best outcome for our entire group here in this community is for everyone to be able to work together and to succeed and to help our children be able to succeed. And so we really appreciate the efforts Thrive is making toward that. And some of the fundraisers, I just wanted to go over those. Mm-hmm. So if people in the audience hear one of these, this is something you want to run to, you want to jump to, and you want to donate for. Now, tell us about the Lily Ball Gala. It'll come up again next year?
Yes, it is in April each year. I believe the original name being around the Lily Ball was because there's a type of lily that's one of the first flowers to bloom in the spring, so lots of symbolism around coming out of winter and coming together.
The dog tooth lily.
The dog tooth lily. We shortened it, make it a little bit less of a mouthful. But that is every spring, and that's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's a gala. It's awesome. It's a chance for folks to get dressed up, and that is what kicks off our fundraising season every spring.
Yeah. And that's a fun thing about Bozeman. We're very casual almost everywhere, but this is an event where you can haul out that wonderful garb that you've been wanting to wear.
That's right. That's right. It's a special night. I have a memory of this past one where a CAP mentor, who she has volunteered with us for many, many years. She got up to share her story about serving as a mentor and a little boy whom she was matched with and the things that they did. And then he joined her on the stage because he was graduating from high school and they were still getting together. That's not uncommon. We do have those matches that meet for many years, but that was powerful. We had a student join us through video who was in college now, and it was really his mentor who encouraged him to think about engineering, and he was going to Purdue and studying engineering. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful night, and people get to bid on some pretty fun vacation packages and show their support.
It's, so there's a
it's
silent
a special
auction as well.
Night, mm-hmm. And a live auction as well.
And live. Excellent.
A lot going on that evening.
Lots
of fun.
Everybody, remember the Lily Ball Gala next April. And then there's one called Drive for Thrive.
Yes, that is coming up very soon.
Yes.
That is our annual golf tournament that we do at, it's going to be up at the Bridger Creek Golf Course. And that, I believe this year is disco themed. So if anyone wants to write in with suggestions for what I should wear to that, still working on that.
Pull out your disco era clothing.
Yes. And that is just, a fun event for those who are into golf, which I think many in the community are by how many golf courses we have around. And another one that has raffle, and being able to sign up for teams and things like that. And is outdoor now that the weather is getting nicer and kicking off our summer season.
And that's at the Bridger Creek Golf Course. And do you have a date for us again?
Yes.
June 21st.
Yep, Friday.
June 21st, everyone. So coming right on up. And do you need to be like an expert level golfer to enter this?
I don't believe so. I mean, maybe you want to have picked up a golf club before. I myself would not be able to probably participate, but yeah, healthy competition.
But you could go is what we're about at Thrive. Yeah.
Yes, healthy
and
competition.
Yes. Yes. Okay, and then I see another one here. Dink to donate.
Yes, that is for our large pickleball enthusiast crowd here in Bozeman in the Gallatin Valley that I learned about after joining Thrive, how many people in this community love to play pickleball.
You're right on the cutting edge here, pickleball.
Right. That's right. Is, yes, people are very passionate about it. And so we have an event catering to that. That is going to be Saturday, August 24th. We currently have the Save the Dates up.
Is it in October?
Did I say October?
You said August.
Yeah,
it's August. August.
Yes.
Sorry.
Saturday, August 24th at Bogart Park, which is one of our beautiful community parks here mm-hmm. in Bozeman, mm-hmm. right off of downtown. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, super fun. You sign up to play. There are different, like, levels, so you can be all the way from beginner, intermediate,
clubs,
expert.
To pair up.
Yeah. You can mm-hmm. pair up. You'll be able to sign up for a team on our website pretty soon, probably within the next month. But the Save the Date is up on our events page now. And that's going to be another one just full of healthy competition, food, raffle items with really great prizes. And that's just a really fun one, especially because there are the different levels, because just anyone who wants to come can come, watch, play, hang out with us.
And you don't have to be an expert. It's like no. all levels.
Money yes. made by the admission ticket or the fee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the raffle, mm-hmm. All mm-hmm. of that. But yes, we will have everything from folks just learning to those who play weekly on the courts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that mm-hmm. one's a fun one for everyone.
Oh, well, those all sound something wonderful that is supporting this grand effort to reach out to the community.
Do the trusts and foundations help Thrive? The different trusts, the grants, do you get grants?
We do have mm-hmm. participation from trusts and foundations. Mm-hmm. We really have a diverse network of supporters.
Maybe some government support, perhaps? Or
not as much as we used to.
Like
but
Medicaid
yeah.
or anything like that? Or, of course, that's mainly health-related.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you make referrals to those agencies
we do,
who
definitely.
Need it. So there's a great interaction, I would assume, so that you might get referrals from the help center, from the teacher, from the school counselor, from the police department when there's a concern.
Absolutely.
So any concern about a family or the children, the young people, could reach your desk. Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we do have one more program coming up this summer. It's not a fundraiser, but there are still spots in it. It is our Girls Stories, Girls Voices Summer Camp. And that is a summer camp for middle school girls, so going into 6th, 7th, or 8th grade. It is a wonderful camp that's all about friendship and building your confidence, your expression, and creativity. And it is a week-long camp that we hold actually at Thrive in July. And I believe as of today, we have under 5 spots left. But it's
goodness.
Really amazing. It's affordable. There are scholarships available. And the girls just come. They journal. They dance. We do yoga.
Oh, goodness.
It's wonderful.
So, is this an overnight camp or a day camp?
It's a day camp. So it's going to run the week of July 22nd from 9 to 3.
Mm-hmm. Is it educational for, like, the pubertal girls learning about femininity and that kind of...
Just anything really around, like, questions that they have, as well as really, I would say, like, the main thread is self-confidence. So, you're changing, as your relationships to your peers and adults mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. is changing, how do you sort of maintain that sense of self, that connection to others? A lot of the things that we've been talking about, relationships, positive relationships.
And that's such a critical juncture, I think. Middle school is a very fraught with difficulties time emotionally mm-hmm. and educationally for kiddos. So perfect timing there, yeah. Preparation for.
Is there any huge, you mentioned earlier Bill, about the future or kind of the philosophy of you want everybody to grow up and be happy and so forth, healthy and health and happiness area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any major, if you had to prioritize what you'd like to look like in 5 years, what would that be?
Wow. One thing that we certainly pride ourselves on doing is we have really adapted to meet the changing needs of this community, which is why we're still around. 5 years ago, if you asked me what we would like to be in 5 years, it would have been impossible to predict where we are. We want to stay flexible and keep doing this where we pivot and we're able to say, you know what, right now, early childhood, literacy, getting ready for school, and Spanish-speaking families, connecting with them, those are our priorities. In 5 years, it's hard to say exactly what we would want to be doing. We certainly would want to be offering what's relevant. We have a number of programs, and we pivot and put our energies behind those that seem like they're making the most impact. I will tell you that we've talked a lot at work about how maybe we need to revisit the idea of servicing families, offering resources and tools more about teenagers. We spend a lot of time talking about, young children in those formative years, and they certainly are formative, birth to five, right? But we hear from parents about teenagers, and our love and logic classes are just as relevant for parents of teens as they are of parents of little school age kids. So, we keep talking about what we think would be effective, what we hear from parents, our offerings with our parenting education, those change based on what feedback we get from the community. So we've offered classes and workshops about anxiety, about phones. These are things that, we on our own would not have necessarily developed, but with feedback from the community, we've been able to offer those. It's hard to say exactly what we'll be offering in 5 years, but, maybe the short answer is those things that are going to be really impactful that we can tell our families need. I don't think Spanish-speaking services are going to go away. I think we're going to continue to need to offer those services where we are able to. And I should clarify, we're not a translation service. We have parent educators who also speak Spanish. So they are educators first, working with families, but it's really impactful and effective that they understand the language and the culture, perhaps, of the family with whom they're working.
So the two words I pulled out of that are adaptable and versatile.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what Thrive is stressing and looking forward to, is keeping your ear to the rail, so to speak, and knowing the needs of your community and how that can change overnight if a new bug comes along or whatever happens, that you would try to adapt to meet that need.
I think about when my husband and I had two children under the ages of three and the things that were challenging for us, and what really put us on the right track was a public health nurse who came to visit, and she suggested organizations in the area where we were living, and we met other parents. I joined La Leche League. There were organizations that once you're connected, you feel a little less alone. And all the perfectionism that people put on themselves about parenting, that I've got to do this right, when really I have had no experience prior to this little baby.
What are you talking about?
Right, yeah. Right. So, but I think back to that time, because that was, 15, 17 years ago. Certainly some things have stayed the same, but a lot of things have changed too. Parents today are dealing with different things than my husband and I were back in 2005. And so we need to continue to learn what people need. And we need to really deeply listen to the kind of help that they want.
So true. And one thing that hasn't changed over all the eons is that someone being able to talk to another person, the catharsis of speaking your feelings to a listening ear and being able to share all of these things that are in your thoughts and your worries and maybe even your nightmares, that you can express that. And there's so much research about how powerful it is just to be able to express yourself and share with another human being what your concerns and needs might be.
We have about 5 minutes left in the program. Well, is there anything we haven't talked about you guys have on your minds that we really need to spend some time on that we haven't gotten into yet?
I will say that an issue we talk about a lot at Thrive, and I bring this up because perhaps you have had guests discuss this as well, is what the landscape looks like after COVID with families and children. We talk about school attendance quite a bit because it is something that our parent liaisons report back to us, that they are working with families who have children who really refuse to go to school, attend school intermittently, don't like school, really are overwhelmed by the thought of going to school. And so we're committed to trying to tackle that problem. And we've got a pretty good relationship with the Bozeman School District. We talk quite a bit with them. But it's something that, you know, having just gone to meetings in Livingston and met with that school district, Big Sky, everyone is talking about this. You know, we've got a very different set of challenges with attendance than before COVID. And I think we really want to figure that out because we want kids to want to go to school. There are caring adults on the other side there at school. We just need to get kids to go and to keep going. And so we need to do everything we can to help parents make that possible too.
Absolutely. And as part of this, we'd like to ask maybe Sophia if you could go back over the address for people to stop by if they want to seek services or if they want to volunteer, if they want to donate, and maybe your website, and kind of go back over the ways that we could connect with Thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. So our physical address is 407 South Ferguson Ave in Bozeman. And like I said, our hours that we're open usually runs around 9 to 4 on weekdays, although for the summer the office will be closed on Fridays, but throughout the school year, 9 to 4 on weekdays. Our main office number is 406-587-3840, and then our website is just allthrive.org. Or if you Google Thrive in Bozeman, we are the only one and we should come up pretty easily.
Yes.
And then if you're specifically interested in becoming a CAP mentor and volunteering, my phone number is 406-922-4256. And I can be reached via a call or a text at that number.
Wonderful. And the next event coming up, let's review, would be in August. And that
it's
is
actually later this month, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we have one in June, the 21st. Mm-hmm. And go over those two events for us one more time.
The two events coming up in our summer season are our Drive for Thrive golf tournament at Bridger Creek. And that is Friday, June 21st, coming up right around the corner. And then in August, following that, we're going to have our Dink to Donate pickleball tournament. And that is going to be Saturday, August 24th at Bogart Park. And both of those events can be found on our website under the calendar and events section, as well as really any events that we have coming up year round. You can always check that calendar page.
We'd like to thank you all very, very much for coming today, talking to Thrive personnel, executive director, and volunteer coordinator, among other hats that you wear various times. And we'd like to thank the audience for listening to Health and Happiness. You can hear us on Monday evenings at 7, on Thursday mornings. Is it at 10? What time is it, 10?
9.
9 o'clock on Thursday mornings. Or you can go to the website, kgvm.org, and look up this program, other programs. You can download it. We have others in the archive if you specifically ask for them. But thank you for tuning in to KGVM 95.9 or kgvm.org, and we will see you next time.